3 and 4. Amen. What a blessing to be here. You know what? I struggled a little bit with this. I was up even late last night, and I came to this today. I had three sermons. And you know what Jesus says? Watch. Mark 13, he says, watch. You not know when the master of the house cometh. A lot of people are getting weary. We were talking back there, Mike and I and Bob, and the lines of division are getting wider. God's separating things right now. But he says, watch, lest he come and find you sleeping. Stay busy, everybody. I believe the time's critical. I believe time is of the essence for such a time as this. We're here, and we need to, John 9:4, the night cometh when no man can work. What we can do now, we're not going to be able to do, I believe, sooner than we realize. Now's the time for to labor for the souls of men and women. I had a sermon here, prepare for global warming. Listen, there's a lot of talk of things in the world right now. And I actually am going to use something else, climate change and faith in God's word. Does the Bible have anything to say about planet Earth and its climate and duration? Let me share something with you. You know what, right now, we don't have a TV, but yet certainly I see TVs, and of course when I get in front of one, it's like, no, I know why I don't have a TV. It's like, draws me in. But you know what, news, what is real big in the world right now, amongst so many things, but the Middle East, Syria. When you see the pictures of Syria, they always show the capital of Damascus, don't they? What does Damascus look like right now? Realize 2,700 years ago, Isaiah wrote about Damascus. Do you realize Damascus is the only Middle Eastern capital that has not been destroyed and has had to be rebuilt? Beirut, Lebanon has been destroyed 7 times and had to be rebuilt. Damascus is the only one that has never been destroyed and had to be rebuilt. Look at it right now. 2,700 years ago, Isaiah wrote in chapter 17 of Isaiah, verse 1, the burden, the prophecy of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. You're seeing prophecy right now. You're seeing things that God wrote about a long time ago unfold before your very eyes. I know you've heard me say, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God sits on his throne, and this Bible is right. So I have a couple things here I'm going to go over. I'm going to move. I want to get them done in a half an hour. If you're not real good at getting to the scripture verses, write them down and look at them. But I believe it'll paint a picture for us right now. Let's open up a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can gather. Thank you for this church house. Thank you, Father, for Pastor and Tammy Wilps, that, Father, you've called them and they've answered the call. And I ask, God, that you would just continue, Father, Lord, with thy anointing on them. Give them wisdom. Give them discernment. Continued holy boldness. Stirred, Father, in the thing. There's more with us than there are with them. Battle is real. It was a gospel lighthouse, a spiritual hospital. Dear God, may, Father, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father, continue to sow in water. That, Father, you'd bless us, Father, to see an increase. But no matter what, may we be found faithful, being the salt of this earth and the light of this world. Lord, paint a picture using a portrait of Scripture here with this sermon. I believe you're the one that's responsible for a message. I'll bring forth this sermon. Do what only you can do. Use me. Hide me behind the cross. But Father, may you, your greatness, and great thou art, be seen here today. Thank you for loving us, for we are but dust, sinners saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. And Father, we'll be careful to thank you for it. In the Lord Jesus' name I pray, amen. Listen, Jeremiah 31:35. And you know what, for time's sake, I didn't go there. We could go to Jeremiah also in 2,600 years ago. He wrote about Damascus. Jeremiah 31:35. But Jeremiah also wrote about Damascus, how the world will look at it in astonishment. People will flee. When you see the news, what do you see? Refugees coming from that city all over the place. And there was a man, a missionary from there, and he said they've never seen violence in the Middle East before, like in Damascus. A woman is murdered every 3 hours. A child is murdered every 2 hours. There's almost 600,000 people dead in the last over 5 years. And the Bible talks in Jeremiah, 2,600 years ago, he wrote that the will be slain in the street, and the city, the streets will be desolate. I mean, it's amazing what we're part of right now. Things are coming, everybody. I believe we're closer than anybody wants to think about, but it doesn't matter what we think. God, you realize God doesn't give us the privilege of an opinion? He gives us his word. And if he said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. It's going to come to pass, everybody. But Jeremiah 31:35, the word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name." You know what? God's in charge. He is the creator of the sun and the moon and the stars, the heaven and the earth, the seas and the boundaries thereof. God, with his astronomical laws, controls outer space and the seas. I used to go down to an aunt in Key West, Florida, and they had a canal that used to go out. I mean, there's things that are going on that we just probably have no idea. I believe that. So many miracles. I believe we'll find out about it, you know, one day on the other side. But right now, I believe there's so much we can't, in our feeble, weak, needy, finite minds. But it was always amazing at how the tide up and down. They had a canal wall, had a boat, but they had a canal that went out. They were 90 miles from Cuba. And you know what? That was like clockwork, the going up and down of the tide in that canal. But you know what? Every month at full moon, the gravitational pulls, the water would come up over the seawall and into the yard. You know what? God has set those things. God is in control is what I'm trying to tell you. God is in charge. Everything is all right in his house. And always remember what God starts and what God allows, he finishes both. Genesis 8, chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis 8, 22. What a blessing to be down here with all of you. Really. Amen. Amen. Pardon? Glory to God. Listen, Genesis 8, chapter 8, verse 22. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." I mean, every day of our life, the sun has come up. Every day of our life, the sun has gone down. I mean, when you think about this world, these four seasons, I mean, this world, I mean, how it hangs on nothing. You know, perfect distance from the sun. You know, it makes one revolution for a day, 24 hours, 365 days, it makes one loop around the sun. And four different times of the year, it tilts. Just absolutely incredible. You know, just enough to make the temperatures different as far as we see it. Those four seasons will continue until the day of judgment. God has spoken them into existence. And it's amazing the things besides us that have listened and obeyed God's word, his voice. Revelation 6:13. Now we're going into the tribulation period where things escalate. And this isn't exhaustive, but I believe this will give you an idea here today. Because there's a lot of stuff going on about this world and climate change. Revelation 6:13. "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." This present age will end a horrific cosmic collapse. And remember, the things that God starts and allows, he's perfect. Do you realize God is not revengeful, but he is avengeful? There's a difference between a revenge and avenge. Avenge means something needs to be done to correct what is wrong. And sometimes drastic measures have to be made. You know, I preach in a lot of prisons. A lot of people gripe and complain about the judge was too hard on them. Should I tell you what? I preach to youth detention centers. Should I tell you what those young kids who are starting out with a big red flag in their life, they'll tell me. They are trying to help me. They are trying to point me in the right direction. They are trying to help me get my life together. They come forth like that. But you know how many people push that aside or say, I'll do it. As soon as they get out, man, back to their own wicked, rebellious, arrogant ways. And you know what? After 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, after coming, being in front of a bunch of judges, being in the courtroom many times, before, I don't know if you've ever been in front of a judge, but it's not a fun place to be. Oh, it's not at all. But before that judge comes out, when he comes out, everybody stands up, he takes time. He's looking at that person's life. He's seen everything that that person has done and what has been tried to be done. He looks at that guy's or that girl's life and says, I know that judge. That judge is a good guy. I know he tries to help people and this and that. And you know, after about 30 years from that first time that they went in, that judge comes out with an attitude and he looks at him and he says, man, you have been given so many opportunities. Time's run out for you. You need to be taught a lesson. Oh, yeah, it works just like that. You realize God, in His mercy, is things are building up towards that, everybody. But the thing, when you think about the stars falling and hitting the earth, I mean, you know what? There's some things that are going on right now. I'm going to wait to just to say something, but let's go to Revelation 6:14, right after 13. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The results will be the moving of mountains and islands, earthquakes. I don't know if you've ever been been in an earthquake, but Pastor Wilps probably knows what I'm talking about. I used to be a chimney sweep, and especially in some of the bad parts of Reading, I used to go up on roofs. I'd go up a ladder. And I need to get over a chimney. I was chimney sweeping. As I was walking across the roof was going like this. And I thought, oh, I'd have prayed like an atheist in a foxhole when bullets are flying over. I didn't want to fall through the roof. And I knew that it was structurally not stable. It was weak. And I mean spongy. And I'm like, oh Lord, don't let me fall through. You know what I did? I walked slowly. I got over to the chimney. I did my work. And then I eased my way back to the ladder. And when I got down to the ground, I was like, yes, it felt so good to get back on the ground. But an earthquake, something that is so sure and solid, when it starts shaking, do you realize there's earthquakes are coming? That those mountains ranges you see in the distance, the earth is going to shake them level, ground level. I think it's interesting too, Revelation 11:13, you don't have to go there, but it talks about, it predicts, prophecy, Jerusalem, a tenth of the city, will be destroyed, will be fallen, and 7,000 men. You know, whenever you see an earthquake, don't you ever see the death toll? God has already predicted exactly how many men are going to be dead. 7,000. Which I think is interesting too. And Daniel talks about knowledge shall increase. And I believe of a truth, there's always applications. And certainly in these end times, technology, knowledge is unbelievably accelerating at a pace. But do you know what that really means? It means things are going to happen and people, well, they've heard, how many people have heard stuff? And people don't forget. They say we're crazy. They want us to be crazy. I tell people for the first time in my life, I'm not crazy, and I used to be crazy. I know crazy. They remember, and they're hoping that we're wrong. That knowledge increase, when certain things start happening in this world, people are going to go to this book. Knowledge shall increase. And they're going to start reading. And they're going to start educating themselves. Once again, God is trying to reach the people that He loves and died for. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Do you know what I just saw? We have a computer and we have the Yahoo page, and out in Illinois, unbelievable floods right now. You know what? The things that are going on in this world, people are taking notice. Things in places that have never been, they have never been of such a magnitude, tornadoes and floods and stuff. And you know what God says? As a woman in travail, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. How's a woman in travail? She's with child. The gestation, 9 months, is up. She breaks her water and she goes into labor. And those contractions, those pains, they time them, don't they? They get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Why? Because a child is ready to come into this world. Nature is a picture of that physical act that God has given a woman. And the things that you are seeing, the writing's on the wall, everybody. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, you know what? You hypocrites, man. You can tell when the weather's going to be bad tomorrow. You can tell by looking at the sun it's going to be hot tomorrow. But you can't tell the signs of the times. One thing I tell people when I witness out in the world, I go up to them and I say, heaven and hell are as real as this world is turning upside down. Where would you go now? Because of that turning upside down, I can't tell you how many people, everybody from young to old, they know it. They know it. There's just something going on that everybody senses it. Almost kind of like animals. You ever see animals? Like the other night, we had a storm. I said, look, Nora, I said, the storm's coming. I said, you see any birds flying around? You know what? They knew something was coming by the barometric pressure, and they know what to do. They know where to go. God, it's amazing what God has put in place for us if we only look to Him. And then, of course, we have Satan, the deceiver, the one who distracts, the father of lies, trying to keep us away from looking at the Lord. But this Luke 21:25, the results will also be the roaring of the waves of the sea. Do you realize what this means? Yeah, this morning I was on the computer. I looked up, I Googled. I had an idea, but I wanted to. In 2004, December 26th, when in the Indian Ocean, when there was over a 9-point magnitude earthquake. The shelves in the ocean, when they shifted, they created a tsunami. Do you realize the waves were 50 to 100 feet high, moving at up to 620 miles an hour? People had no idea they were coming because no systems to warn were in place. Can you imagine a wave doing 620 miles an hour that's 100 feet high? Seen them waves that, like, down at the shore, they're about this tall, and they come in, they hit you, and they knock you for a loop. There's going to be things that are happening, and, you know, we'll say it in another verse, but these are the things that God is doing. The results will be the roaring of the waves and the seas. Revelation 8:7. Revelation 8:7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. You know what? That would get my attention. I would start looking at that. Man, I'd be scared. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees. Now listen to this. A third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. You look at the beautiful horizon or someplace, the everything is lush and plush and green, the trees and the grass. God's saying a third of the trees are going to be burnt. You see some of these California fires right now? In June, there was a fire in Portugal. You see how many people that died? I mean, a fire that they've never had before. But to look at the aftermath of it, it's like, wow. All green grass is going to be burnt up, charred. The picture, and God is taking things away that, well, are beautiful and precious. And you know, it's wonderful to go out there in the green grass. Just look at the trees with their, you know, after dormancy, now they're just bringing forth foliage that is just so beautiful. There'll be the burning of the grass. Look at Revelation 8:10-11. Revelation 8:10-11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died because of the waters, because they were made bitter. A life-giving source, water. You ever been thirsty? And looking for water, and there finally you get some. It's like, it's wonderful. But can you imagine a life source in the midst of all that's going on? People are, even in people in desperation, they want something to drink. How many times do you see people get nervous, start sweating, and somebody says, it brings them a water? Why? Because of what it does. There'll be waters that'll be so horrible that people, they have to drink, they'll die from them. A third part, this water, this planet is filled with a lot of water. A third of the waters are become bitter. Waters will be polluted with a comet-like star that hits the planet. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. Revelation 16, 9. Now here's a key verse with you. You know, you might wonder about all of this, and I said God doesn't revenge, He avenges. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. Do you know what? Things are so strange. Things are so bizarre. People are probably flipping out, freaking out. But you know what? It doesn't say, what's going on? No, it says they looked up and they cursed God. They blasphemed God. They know exactly what's going on. I want you to think about this. A few years ago, there was a journalist that got kidnapped by some people over in the Middle East, bad people. One of the things they did, he has escaped and he's being interviewed. They used to strip him down of his clothes, and they'd tie a rope around his ankles, and they'd throw it over a beam, and they'd pull it so he'd be upside down. And then they took a rod, and they beat the bottom of his bare feet, beat it and beat him bad. And the interviewer said, what did you do? He said, I cursed. He said, I swore. He said, I spit at him. Interviewer said, what did they do? He said, they beat me harder. Interviewer said, what did you do then? He said, I shut my mouth. See, common sense says when you're in a position and you have no place to go, and the truth of it is, you know that you're wrong, and people know that they're wrong in these times, and God's afflicting this stuff upon them. The hardness of the heart, Bible 1 point says they chew on their tongues because of the pain. But do you think they'll repent, they'll surrender? No, they'll shake their fist at God and defy Him. Wow, pretty radical, the hardness of man. There will be global warming from the sun and people will be scorched. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. Now remember that verse, that last one, because people know. They know who's in charge. They know who's doing this. And they defy Him. They curse Him. But it's what they continue to do. And God, He turns up the dial. He turns up the pressure. Why? Trying to make them break so they repent. Why? Because He knows forever comes after this and it's going to really be horrible. But yet, they don't. But in verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works, of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Do you know what? The mainline churches are going to be booming. There's some churches that have a lot of idols. And I preach in some churches that have been sold to Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And you know what? There's like indents in the walls where the idols were taken out. You know what? There's still a lot of them around. All sorts of idols. You know what? They're going to be booming in this time because people aren't going to surrender to God. They're going to go where they want. They're going to go with what they know. Their pride's going to hold them there. And then in Revelation 9:21, the second verse, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Sorceries. Look at the drug epidemic. People are dying, don't even care. Twice out in Ohio, a couple months ago, police brought in a portable police cooling unit because so many dead bodies from heroin overdoses, the coroner couldn't do all the autopsies. And they don't want the smell to start coming about and them decaying. Sorcery. Greek word, pharmakia, pharmaceuticals, drugs. I had a man from Australia tell me one time years ago, he said, Mitch, when you do drugs, he said, it's like leaving the keys in your car. Anybody can get in and drive. And I thought, boy, did that make sense to me. Because I used to be possessed. And you look at what's going on in the world. You see, mankind contributes to everything that's going on in this time, in the tribulation, not by environmental pollution. Micah, your car you're driving, that exhaust, it's not doing all this stuff. You know what? Our electricity, it's not doing all this stuff. It's moral pollution that is bringing the climate changes that He's doing it for a reason. False worship, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, which is abortion. Following the spirit world with the aid of drugs. Revelation 6, 1 and 17. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And verse 17, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? God's long-suffering, but He's not forever suffering. God's wrath is equal to His love. Why do we need the love of God? Because the wrath of God abideth upon everyone. You know what? People say, well, He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. There's coming a day where He's not going to separate them. They're going to pay. God, 7-11, a psalm. God is angry with the wicked every day. I said to my wife this morning, we were listening to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And I said, do you realize when the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, as beautiful as it sounds to us, God's angry with them. Why? Well, because they say Jesus Christ and Lucifer were brothers. That means Christ is a created being, and that's not true. Got to have the deity right. You've got to recognize where the power is and the position of that. There's only one true living God, high on a throne, exalted, lifted up. Listen, God's wrath, not man, executed through the Lord Jesus, is the source. Revelation 20, verse 6. You with me, everybody?
Yes, sir.
Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That'll be a great time. But after this, the planet goes through another 1,000 years under the rule of Christ. He will be the lamb. He will be the not be the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He will be the lion of the tribe of Judah. And there will be no plain. I've heard it put like this. You realize there's going to be lost people in that 1,000-year millennial reign? How can that be? We're going to go back to the purity of this world, like when the apostles walked and were bringing. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? When they lied, as soon as they lied, they died. It's going to become days like that where the purity of God is going to be so strong in that reign. God's not going to play. It's going to be great for those who want the Lord Jesus Christ. But it'll be another picture that of those people that hopefully will see the wisdom of God and surrender to accept Him. But He will not play. Revelation 19, 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. Listen, to be a Christian is on the winning side. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Those birds of prey that you see picking animals, man, it's going to be radical. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I had a dead squirrel last week, and I couldn't stand it. And I saw the picture of Mosul this morning. They said the heat is so bad, they said all the bodily waste. I know this is gross, but this is reality. What do you think the people that are going to be left here and walking this earth? Over in Mosul, ISIS fighters in these alleys, and it showed the insurgents walking, and they said they can't take deep breaths. They just have to go because of the bodily waste, the decaying bodies, the smell and the garbage is so radical that the alleys are lined with ISIS fighters that are dead and decaying and rotting. It's going to be like that. And the birds of the air, those vultures, they are going to be having a party, eating the flesh of kings and queens and people that everybody thought were untouchable one day. It's going to be a bad scene to be here. Man, if you're saved, we're not going to be here. Under Christ, under Jesus Christ, there will be the removal of the unrepentant sinner. Revelation 20, 1 to 3. Can I have a couple more minutes? Just a couple more minutes. Okay. Revelation
20:1-3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and put a seal upon him. That represents the authority of God. That key also represents the authority of God. That chain represents the binding of a force that we're no match for. That he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose for a little season. Can you imagine? You ever have a dream where you're falling? Can you imagine 1,000 years having that feeling, that sensation? That's one of the torments of hell. Nothing solid ever under your feet again. Oh, I thank God that I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. Under Christ, there will be the removal of Satan, the deceiver. One angel, one chain. That's a pretty big, strong angel to take hold of Satan and put him in his place as God would have him to be. And listen, I won't go into this, but Isaiah, you see my tie? Notice it's dark on one side and it's light on the other. We're in darkness right now. Man's not going to save the world. And that's turning into a god. We're supposed to be careful. We're supposed to be responsible. But God's going to save this earth because there's a curse on it. And the earth even is working to get out of it. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11. Look at verse, you don't have to go there. But in chapter 11, what the bottom of this tie is a male lion with a little lamb. It's a picture of when the curse is off this world. In 11:6 of Isaiah, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. Can you imagine a little child, a little baby playing on a hole of a cobra? No worry, no problem. Why? Because things are going to be gone that we knew of. And the weaned child shall put his hand upon the cockatrice's den, the viper. The Christ Accord. Under the Lord Jesus Christ in his capital of Jerusalem, there will be disarmament, peace, and a restoration of a green earth with non-carnivorous animals. Also, there will be justice and equity for all with a united world faith where all happily coexist and seek God's ways in Jesus Christ. Thank God we're not in North Korea right now. You know what would happen if we'd be in North Korea gathering like this? We'd be looking at about 15 years of torture, abuse, starvation, beatings. They don't do it. They try to do things, but the oppression of in this world by governments, it's all going to be gone because Christ is going to be ruling with a rod of iron. Amen. It's going to be a different world. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. A big bang, that's when it's going to come, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth forever with righteousness. Let me end it like this. We're not God's children, we're God's creation. We need to be adopted into the family of God. Why? Because one day we're going to die physically, but we're going to survive our own funeral. There's a dress rehearsal for the next life, everybody. John 3:3. Verily, verily, truthfully, God says, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The adoption process. Do you realize the number one and number two fear of humans all across the world? Do you know what they are? Number one is burning. Number two is drowning. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Burning, drowning, lake of fire. Lake of fire. Lake of fire. Isn't that incredible? You think that's a coincidence? I don't think so. God has put stuff within us if we'd only seek. Every man's blessed with a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. I said it out there. Listen, everybody knows. everybody knows some things, but we have the ability to choose. And I always want to keep choosing wisely. Amen. You know what? Life is a choice. He's the enabler. We're the decider. I pray you've decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray you want to stay closer. I believe the closer you are to something, the more you see. Amen. And there's nothing else but that cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for God, what you've given us and showed us and what you have forewarned us and how you tell us to watch and be careful, for things are coming. Father, you love us, and the best is yet to come. But it's what comes on the other side is dependent upon what we do down here. May we, Father, through surrender, serving, worshiping you, laboring for you in spirit and in truth as we are commanded. Oh, dear God, Father, bring pleasure to you. Lord, keep your hand upon the rest of the service. I pray your hands upon Micah in where you've led him. Lord, stir our hearts today, Father. How you unison. We're all part of this. There's no I in team. We ride on each other's coattails. So, Father, may we pray. May we serve. May we worship. May we live in Christ for Christ that the world would see. And, Father, I pray that you'd stir their hearts, that they'd, Father, just see it so clearly that they'd choose wisely. Wanting this Savior that we have and can be theirs. Father, we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.